Good morning, church. How's everyone doing this morning? Good? Are we awake? Let's try again. Good morning, church.
Good morning,
Joe. Good. So this morning, I'm a little nervous, I must admit. I'm going to do something different that I haven't done before. As some of you know, I am in a summer intensive class, and that class is preaching class. And this week I read a book called Preaching Without Notes. So this morning, I'm going to preach without my laptop, without my iPad, without notes. So please show grace, as I've never done this before, but I've put in quite a lot of work, and I trust that the Lord will speak through me nonetheless. So this morning we are continuing our series called Testimony. And if you remember 3 weeks ago, I think that's a long time for some of us, for others it's really short, we started this series by talking about the biblical word for witness. We looked at the Greek word and the Hebrew word for witness. And we came away saying that to witness something is simply to observe and then share it with others. And my challenge to the church was to write down our meaningful moments every day and then share them around the dinner table, share them with our friends, and get used to sharing testimony. This morning, we are going to dive a little deeper into testimony. We're going to talk about how sharing testimony is like telling a story. But before we dive in, would you pray with me? Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you for the beauty of this day. We thank you that we've already heard testimony. We've had enough just to say, Lord, you are good, and we can just go home. But Lord, you have so much more for us. So I pray that you would open our hearts to receive what you have for us this morning. I pray that you would open our ears to hear and our eyes to see your work. Lord, may we encounter you in this scripture text in a way that transforms us. And I pray that you would anoint me, Lord, to preach your word with power so that our hearts might burn too, knowing that you are here with us. So in your name we pray. All God's people said,
Amen.
Amen. So testimony. Testimony is like telling a story. One of my favorite stories to tell comes from college. And it's one weekend that we decide to go camping in the middle of January. And one weekend I saved my friend's life. But before, I want to give a little background. This was sophomore year of college, the just start of J-term. And Jess had just broken up with me. Right? It was a difficult time for me. So I thought, I want to do something crazy. Let's do something nuts so I can stop thinking about my broken heart. So in the middle of Greek class with my friend Ben, we sat there not listening to Greek, but planning this camping expedition. We decided that we would borrow some gear from our friends, and we would just follow the creek and find a place to camp, and when we felt like we walked enough, we'll just camp somewhere. So that's what we did. We borrowed some gear from our friends from the Outdoors Club, and we followed the yellow breeches. We left in the morning, and we walked about 6 hours. We went around the creek, through the swamp, through the brambles. It was quite a trek. And eventually, as nightfall came, we noticed that it was starting to get cold. The weather that day was about 30-ish degrees, but it was starting to drop. Slowly, because it's the middle of January. And we were carrying all our gear on our back, and we found this clearing in the woods where we thought, here's a good place. So we set up our tent. Now, our tent was a three-season tent. It wasn't insulated. It wasn't designed to be used in the middle of January. And I started to dig a hole to make a fire, and I knew I was in trouble when I started to dig ice out of the ground instead of just dirt. So I dug a hole, we made a ring for a fire, I built up a log cabin, and I pulled out the metal pot that we brought to cook our soup in. We had 2 cans of soup. And while we were making the fire, Ben decided his socks were wet, so he put them up on a stick to dry out. Unfortunately, those socks burned holes in the middle, so his toes were sticking out. And as the night went on, the weather got colder. We decided to go to bed early so we could wake up the next day and have energy to walk back. And I noticed that it was about 14 degrees outside. And then it got colder and my phone just stopped working. So it was really, really cold. And in the middle of the night, I woke up to Ben shivering. He was freezing. You see, Ben's over 6 feet tall. And the gear that he borrowed from our friend was made for someone who was 5'7", 5'8". So Ben's feet were sticking out the end of the sleeping bag. And I thought my friend was going to die. So I rolled over right next to him and pretty much slept on top of the man until he stopped shivering. And I remember the next morning, I woke up to the sound of the tent opening and Ben coming in with my pocket knife in his hand and said, "I didn't catch anything, Joe." And I said, "What in the world are you talking about, boy?" And he said, "I went hunting for bears, but I didn't find any." That story is a story I'll never forget. The time where we went camping in 14-degree weather, and the time that I very well could have saved my friend's life. That is a memory that Ben and I love to share and love to share with others. Were we dumb? Yes. But was it worth it? Yes. We didn't lose any toes or feet or anything. We did ruin a tent, but that's okay. But we all have stories, right? We all have stories that we like to share in our lives. But as Christians, we have more than just stories to share. We have testimonies. We have moments where we've seen God's hand at work that we can say, in my life, that's where God was. That's where I saw more than just an answered prayer. That's where I saw a miracle. We have God moments that we can share with others. And these God moments, these testimonies, are just like telling a story. But the question is, how do we tell testimony in such a way that makes people's hearts burn? Right? We want to know how to share a good testimony. Well, this morning we are going to look at this encounter on the road as an example of how to share testimony. Let's talk about the ingredients of a story. What do you need when you tell a story? Well, first you need who, right? We need to know who's telling the story. We need to know who's involved and who we're telling the story to. That's an important ingredient. We need to know when. When did this event take place? Or when did these series events take place? We need to know where. Where did this happen? Did it happen in a house? Did it happen in the middle of the woods? Did it happen as you were driving down the road? And we need to know what happened. What happened? What were the details of the event? What were the emotions that you felt? And what was the background? What led to this event? Some people say that's the how, but for our purposes, I'll just keep it to what. And the final W is why. Why is this story important? Why did it change the teller? And why should it change me? Telling a story has its ingredients, right? Just like a cake has ingredients. You like the look of that cake up there? Imagine how that cake would taste without flour, or without eggs, or without sugar. Would it taste all right? Would it look like that? No, right? So when we're telling a story, we need all the ingredients. Just like when we're baking a cake, we need all the ingredients for the cake to come out well. But when you make a cake, you don't just throw everything together and haphazardly mix it, throw it in a pan, and you're done, right? Begging's intentional, or so they tell me, right? Begging is an intentional process. So telling a story isn't just throwing all the pieces together, but it's an intentional process. It's a moment where we get to share Jesus with others. There's a story of a preacher who got up to the pulpit on a Sunday morning and said, "Well, church, it's been a busy week. For whatever reason, I don't have a sermon for you this morning. So what I'm going to do is I'm just going to share how I've seen God work in my life." So the preacher got up for the next hour and shared over and over again how he saw God work. He shared testimony after testimony. And after the service, a young man came up to him and said, "That is the best sermon I've ever heard. In fact, I want that relationship that you have with Jesus. How do I get that? Because I want it." So when we share testimony, it's not just making sure we have all the ingredients right. It's making sure we have an opportunity to share Jesus. So let's look at the testimony of Cleopas together as told by Luke. I invite you to follow along as we go through this together. So Cleopas's testimony as told by Luke. Let's talk about the who. The who of this story. Who's telling the story? Who's the author of the Gospel of Luke? Luke, right? Luke's telling the story to a guy named Theophilus. If you look at the beginning of Luke and the beginning of Acts, it says, "To my dearest Theophilus." But eventually, this letter is going to the believers in Luke's community. And the cool thing about it is, it's a story, it's a testimony written for us too. Amen? So that's who's telling the story. That's who the story is being told to. Now, who's involved with this story? What characters are at play here? Well, there's three characters. First, we have Cleopas. We see he's named in verse 18. And correct me if I'm wrong. So verse 18, double check me, church. Yeah. Yes, okay. Good. So Cleopas is the only named, is the one that's named here. And that's why I think this is Cleopas' story. Because this is the only time that Cleopas is named in all Scripture. Just this one time. So that's Cleopas. And then we have an unknown disciple. Some scholars say it might even be Luke himself. Some might say it might be another disciple. We don't know who he is. And then could be his wife. That's a good idea. I'll have to write a commentary about that. Anyway, and then we have a third person who in the story is identified as an unknown man. But Luke, he kind of gives us a little hint, right? Who does Luke say he is? Jesus, right? Jesus is the important key character in this story. And even though the two disciples don't know it, Jesus is the center of this testimony. And it reminds us that the who of the story really matters. Who is involved really matters in our testimony. I'll tell another story. There was a group of students in the 1940s that went on a field trip in England. They were touring the historical religious sites of England. They were looking at the sites where revival had taken place in the past, and they would visit a site, the guide would tell them about it, and then they'd file back on the bus. At one point, the teacher noticed that there was a student missing. So the teacher went upstairs, and lo and behold, he found a young man kneeling at the edge of a bed, praying out loud, "Do it again, Lord. Do it again." Does anyone know who that person is? Billy Graham. See, if I would have just not mentioned his name at all, we would just think, wow, it's just another person praying. But that who in that story really mattered, because Billy Graham would go on to be used to bring hundreds of thousands of people to Christ. So the who really matters. Next, let's talk about the when. The when of this situation is right after the resurrection. In fact, if you look at the text, it might even be the same day that Jesus rose from the dead. Right? This is just after hearing the news that Jesus had risen from the dead. They heard from the women and from Peter. But 3 days before, what happened? Jesus died. He was crucified on a Roman cross. He was politically executed. And you can tell in their voices that there's still sorrow about that. Where is this happening? Is it in a car? On the road. On the road out of Jerusalem to where? Emmaus, a place about 7 miles away from Jerusalem. Let's talk about the background. Now, background is really important. If I told you that one day in college, Jess sent me a text message that said, "Joe, on my work card, as I was cleaning bathrooms, I found a pair of pants." You wouldn't think anything of it, right? It's kind of strange. Might ask where those pants came from. But the background is, Jess, for the last 2 weeks prior, literally prayed that God would give her pants. She had no car. She had no way to go to the store. And her pants were literally ripping at the seams. 2 weeks later, pants show up on her car. See, it's sometimes the background of this situation that makes the testimony that much more powerful. Or how many of you have heard the story about Marvin praying for a career change? Right? Raise your hand. If I just said Marvin prayed for a career change, and then God said, "Okay, you're switching careers," that wouldn't be as meaningful as knowing that he prayed for 10 years every day. So what's the background of this story that makes this testimony all more important? Well, Luke does us a favor here, and he gives us the background. In verses 19 to 24, "What things," he asks, this is Jesus, "about Jesus of Nazareth," they replied, "he was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place. In addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but they didn't find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb and found it just as the woman had said, but they did not see Jesus." You see, in this background story, there's something that Luke says that's not explicit. You can hear that these two disciples don't know if they believe the women. They don't know if they believe the others. They say there's a vision. They said he was alive, but there's a bit of doubt in there, right? And that's what makes this story all the more powerful. So what happens? Well, what happens is, if we go play by play, the two men are walking on the road from Jerusalem to Emmaus. A third stranger comes up and says, "Hey, what you guys talking about?" And they say, "About Jesus of Nazareth." And it's kind of funny. They're like, what do they say? They say, "Are you the only one in Jerusalem who hasn't heard this?" I imagine Jesus having a little smile on his face at that point, right? And then Jesus says, "How foolish are you? Don't you know the scriptures?" So as they're walking, they get a sermon, right? And Jesus goes through the scriptures and explains how the scriptures all point to him. That, as the Bible Project says, it's one unified story that points to Jesus. And they get excited about this. They're eating it up, right? So much so that they want to eat with Jesus. They want Jesus to stay with them. And they have dinner. And as they're breaking bread, what happens? Jesus disappears. Their eyes are open. And as soon as they can see, Jesus disappears. And they say, weren't our hearts burning within us as he explained the scriptures to us? And in excitement and amazement, they go and tell the other disciples. Now, what I want to know is, did they make that 7-mile trip that night? Did they fetch a horse and chariot? Or did they run all the way back to Jerusalem? Those are answers we don't know. They ran. Could you imagine how excited you would be? That they ran and they told. Let's talk about the feelings that they are feeling. As you go about the story, it's quite an emotional roller coaster. It starts in the beginning with their face downcast, right? They believe that Jesus, the Messiah, who was supposed to set them free, was crucified just like every other Messiah. And he died. And that's a feeling that we can kind of share in right now. As a community, as we think about the loss of the senior at Big Spring High School this past week, we can understand the sorrow of death. And we can understand the question of what good can come out of this situation now. And then they're amazed that this man is the only man in Jerusalem that hasn't heard the story. And then they are intrigued, right? They want more. They want to hear more. So Jesus starts telling them more. And they get excited, so much so that they invite a random stranger they just met on the road to share a meal with them. Their hearts are burning. And then they're amazed. They're flabbergasted as he breaks bread and disappears. They're excited, so much so that they probably run back to Jerusalem to share this testimony. Can you imagine the feelings that they're feeling in one day to go from sorrow to excitement? It must have been a roller coaster of a day. The last part of the ingredient of this testimony is the why. Why is this story important? Well, again, Luke gives us the answer here. He tells us in verses 34 and 35, when they get back, here's what they say. It's true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon. Y'all aren't crazy. You could actually believe women, amen? Then the two told that they had happened on the way and how Jesus recognized by them when he broke the bread. In every testimony, there's a why. Every testimony shares this why DNA. Why do we share testimony? Because it points to a reality that God is alive, that God is working, that his will is being done on earth as in heaven, and that his kingdom is coming on earth as it is in heaven. Why is that important? Well, because every time that I hear that God is working, my faith is strengthened. I'm encouraged. I'm inspired. When I hear stories like what we heard this morning from Steve, I think, wow, God is amazing. He took a situation like Steve learning to fly a plane to reading a book about a person to happen to meet that person, to now having a relationship with that person. I don't know about you, but that blows my mind, right? And every time we share our testimony, we reaffirm our allegiance that God is alive, right? That we do believe, that we do trust in him, that we have faith in him. And what that means is, let's say I'm having a really tough week. Let's say I'm doubting that God's working. I'm doubting that God's moving. And I'm I'm just in the middle of a storm. You have all have felt those weeks, right? Where you've doubted God's love and presence, and you felt like the situation was just so overwhelming. But what testimony does is it helps take our eyes off the situation and say, hey, I might be having a really bad week, but Femi told a story about this couple that was going to get divorced and was separated for 6 years, but they both came and they worshiped this morning and they reconciled. And I can say, my life's in pieces, but I know that God's still working because of Femi's testimony. In many ways, that's what keeps our faith alive, right? We share with each other, even when we feel like we don't have strength. In many ways, testimony isn't my testimony, church. Testimony isn't Harry's testimony, but it's our testimony. Amen? It's the church's testimony, the church's story. So let's land this plane here. What do we take from looking at the testimony of Luke, of Cleopas as told by Luke? And let me just point a caveat. I've used the word story. When I say story, it doesn't make it any less true. Just to clarify, it's a testimony. It's an eyewitness account. What do we do with this? What do we take away? What changes as a result? Well, we know that each and every one of us has had an encounter with God, right? We wouldn't be here if we didn't. That means we all have a testimony to share. And we just heard that it's our testimony that can sometimes help someone who feels like they're drowning stay afloat. So I ended the sermon 3 weeks ago with a challenge to notice the meaningful moments of your day and share them with others. What I want to challenge you with this week, church, is what I'm calling a one-minute God moment. Think about your life in its entirety and identify a God moment that you really felt the presence of God. It could be an answered prayer. It could be a personal moment. And I invite you to think about that testimony. Think about the ingredients of it, the why, the what, the where, the when, the how, if you like the word how, and condense it into a minute. For some of us, a minute seems like forever, right? For others that like to talk, not so much. But I invite you to share that 1 minute God moment with someone this week. And you might think, well, everyone I talk to is Christian. Well, maybe that person's going through a storm right now. And maybe they need to hear your testimony that God is an anchor. Or maybe you're going to end up behind a really slow person at Sailors on Tuesday. Maybe you can use that minute you have to wait for somebody to scan your groceries to share a testimony. The question is, church, we all have a story. We all have encounters with God. What is God calling each of you to share this week? And who is God calling you to share it with? Would you pray with me? Lord, I thank you for the testimony of Cleopas. I thank you that you are here in this place. Lord, I pray that you would anoint us with your Holy Spirit so we might go out and be witnesses for your kingdom, to connect with people that either don't know you or need to hear that you're still here and working. Use us, Lord. We are willing servants. That as we sang, we are going to do unto you, Lord. Empower us, encourage us to go out and be your church. It's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.